comments on our YouTube stream. 1620thezone.com, by the way, is where you can find that. This one's from Steven. I can't help but think that it's not going to be any of the coaches that we've been talking about.
Ooh, the left field hire.
We only got like three more days of this. Robin Washit joins us now. Hi, Robin.
What's happening?
Do you think it'll be none of the coaches that we've been talking about?
At this point, nothing would surprise me. It seems like just when you think you have an idea of what's going on, that rumor gets immediately shot down, and then a new rumor surfaces, and you're basically jumping from one name to the next. And I think that's going to continue until we actually get an official word. So at this point, I wouldn't be surprised by anything. But, you know, the Mike Riley thing came out of nowhere. Scott Frost, everybody knew it was happening before he even coached his last game. So we've seen both ends of the spectrum on this. But I would expect the name will be at least someone that has been on the radar.
Okay.
Now, how prominently on that radar, I don't know. But I'll bet you we've at least heard the name before when the hire's announced.
So we came up with a list of like 50 or 55 names for our wheel when we started this thing. And we made a guarantee at the beginning that Nebraska's next head coach would be one of those 55 names. I didn't feel like that was that much of a stretch. And, you know, chances are you still end up with one of the like three or four names that we've been talking about the entire time. But the fact that I don't know, I can no longer guarantee that is honestly impressive.
Yeah, and that's made this search so unique, is just the level of secrecy and how long it's gone. You know, I mean, with over 70 days now, that in itself makes this drawn out and agonizing, I'm sure, for some fans as any that we've had so far. So it's you know, a lot of new variables to this search, and the fact that, you know, we're no closer to having any idea of who a realistic the candidate could be as we were when this thing started on whatever September 12th, it's pretty fascinating when you think about it. In today's age, to be able to keep something of that magnitude in a place like this, as secretive as they have, if nothing else, nothing short of impressive by Trev Alberts and the people directly involved in this search.
Why do you think Lars Anderson is the one person who still thinks Mickey Joseph is going to be the head coach?
I'm not sure. You know, that's he's really putting himself out there and doubling down on that one. So, you know, he's gotten some good intel on a couple Nebraska coaching related items, but you know, I got to question this one. Just listening to Mickey today, like, you know,
no, exactly. He does not.
He still had no communication with Trev Alberts. He doesn't expect to have any communication until this weekend or maybe even in the next week. He says after the game, he's going to go home and sit on his couch with his family. And so didn't seem to me like a guy that is preparing to take the reins as the full-time guy. Now, obviously, who knows? Don't rule anything out at this point, but it certainly didn't seem likely, certainly not to the degree that Lars Anderson is painting it out to be.
Okay, on that then, because, you know, and there's been so many names that have popped up, and even more so, like, recently over the last couple of days, just either out of nowhere or just popped up for the first time. Like, do you think that there is – there's obvious smoke screens here, but do you think there's, like, actual misinformation being put out there by the people who are running – Trev Alberts or the people who are running the search – just to direct us in the wrong direction? Like, I don't even know what the point of that would be, but we're so all over the board with this that I don't know what to think or where some things are coming from.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of it is intentional. You know, I think a lot of the information that has come out has come from other parties, not Nebraska, but the people that they might be talking to.
Sure.
You know, to Trev's credit, he warned everybody right from the jump. He's like, you're going to hear a lot of names. You're going to hear about Nebraska contacting a lot of different coaches. And that has certainly held true where, you know, reports are Nebraska's talked to Matt Rhule. They've talked to Mark Stoops. They've talked to Leifold, Kleiman, Deion Sanders, all these people. And I think that stuff is more coming from the other parties involved, not from Nebraska. I don't think this is some intentional, like, trying to figure out who the leaks are inside the athletic department and that sort of thing. I think it's more a deal where, you know, agents talk, people coach share other agents and word gets around. But as far as what's being let out from Nebraska's end, I think it's been pretty clamped down. I think any information has come from other parties, and that people are just grasping at those because everyone is so desperate for information and to figure out what the heck's going on.
Would you like to join me in my efforts of bringing Scott Frost back to Nebraska and putting him in jail for not offering Zane Flores a scholarship?
Man, you're really leading the mob there. You got your pitchfork.
I am, yes.
Flaming torch and everything.
I'm happy to. I don't know the extradition laws or whatever, but we got to bring him back, and he has to sit in a jail cell for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to atone for that crime in some capacity. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hate to, you know, make a judgment on that already without either William Watson or Zane Flores playing a single college snap yet, but certainly seems like that was a risk worth taking, if you even want to call it that, just because he is an in-state kid and he is playing at an extremely high level, and other programs like Oklahoma State were very much interested, and Nebraska wasn't. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. Things like this happen, but when you get a high-profile kid like that at the quarterback position, you know, on a team that came a field goal away from the state championship, you know, that's tough. That's tough for a lot of people around here to swallow, especially when you consider different situations like that where, you know, Scott Frost turned away Joe Burrow. You know, he you know, had other
people
guys
forget.
Like that you look back on it and you're like, what were you thinking? And I think, unfortunately, this very well could be another one of those examples where, for whatever reason, Scott Frost and his staff couldn't see or didn't prioritize a in-state talent the way everybody else did. It's probably going to bite him in the end.
They didn't say yes to Joe Burrow, and a year later, Luke McCaffrey was their starting quarterback.
Yeah. Who's now playing wide receiver at TCU?
Rice.
Sorry, yeah, I knew one of those. Cool.
Yeah. Just an example. Okay, Robin, let's get over to Nebraska basketball, who struggled a little bit with Arkansas Pine Bluff, but pulled away. It was a really, really good second half for them. But let's go back to that St. John's game. How did things get away from them? I mean, really, four vastly different halves in a row here for Nebraska basketball. How did things get away from them against St. John's in the second half?
Well, as kind of Nebraska feared, St. John's pressure got them. You know, they started getting sped up. They were making bad decisions with the ball. They turned it over a whole bunch, and they couldn't even facilitate their offense. You know, the ball movement was non-existent, even when they did get the ball half court or past half court. So really, you know, that was a real worry because they had not seen not just a press like that, but a press with that much length and athleticism. I think you can make a strong case when you look back on this season that St. John's might be one of the best defensive backcourts in the country. And that second half showed exactly why, where they changed the game by, you know, turning up the heat on Nebraska's ball handlers. And, you know, the Huskers did not respond the way that they should have. And it turned the game very quickly. And Nebraska was unable to respond. You know, the one thing that they've been able to do, they've gone through these little droughts, whether it's Omaha or Arkansas Pine Bluff or whoever, but they've been able to get things under control. Granted, St. John's is a major step up in just the level of competition, but Nebraska, you know, seemed like once things turned on them, they had no idea of how to stop the bleeding and get things, you know, back under control. So the good news is that they were facing another difficult situation the next time out, down 8 early in the second half.
Yeah.
Against Pine Bluff, and to their credit, they stepped up and turned a potential disaster into a comfortable victory. And I guess that's good that they were able to rebound from that St. John's game. But you know, the real test is going to be this weekend, starting with Oklahoma, out and down in Orlando. You know, they're going to be up against it, playing 3 games in 4 days in a neutral site. It's just a different type of setting that this team has not experienced yet. and how they handle the adversity when inevitably hits will go a long way in determining what this weekend is. I will say that compared to what I thought it was going to be going into the season, I'm looking at this as a pretty decent opportunity for Nebraska. I think Oklahoma is certainly beatable. They've really underperformed this year. They struggled a lot more than Nebraska did with Arkansas Pine Bluff. And they struggled right out, or they lost one of the games. I can't remember. Either way.
They lost to Sam Houston State.
Thank you. I knew they lost that in the opener. Yeah. So either way, they are still very much trying to figure themselves out. And, if Nebraska can find a way to win that first game, then all of a sudden you got some momentum. You're 4-1 for the first time since Tim Miles has been here. You got some early momentum that, who knows? You look at the rest of that field, Memphis and Seton Hall are good, but they're not unbeatable. Florida State was supposed to be the class of that field, and they've been a disaster to start this year. So, you look at that field being, 7 of the 18 high majors, the other one, Siena, who's a mid-major power, it looked like a really daunting task. But, with some of the encouraging things we've seen from Nebraska and some of the struggles of other teams in that field, this really could be a great opportunity for Nebraska, but they've got to figure out how to handle adversity against high major talent much better than they did in their lone test. And really going back to the Colorado game too, where they let that game get away from them early and they were never able to recover. So, and their two tests so far against teams equal to or better than their caliber, they've really struggled. So this is going to be a kind of a tipping point for where the rest of the season goes. It can go one of two directions, and it's going to start Thursday to dictate where the thing starts to head.
All right, he's Robin Washett, who will have to have his game face on Thursday when you'll be fresh off of the turkey eating. 3:30 G-Men and Cowboys, 4:00 Nebraska Oklahoma. I don't know how you're going to stay awake or how this is going to work for you, but you're going to have to really, really lock in.
Well, I'll be in the back seat of Sean Callahan's car with Steve Sipple, and we're driving out to Iowa City to the basketball game on the radio. We're leaving about 2:00 on Thursday. I'm going to have an early Thanksgiving lunch and then hit the road. And then I'm not going to subject myself to sitting down and ruining my Thanksgiving watching the Giants. So I'll be tuning into the Nebraska game on the radio, writing on that, and trying to avoid score updates from Giants Dallas as much as I can.
Perfect. Sounds like a lovely Thanksgiving. Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com as they embark on the journey across the state of Iowa. Lovely Interstate 80.
It's lovely this time of year.
Very beautiful, scenic, windmills, all the above. We'll come back, round things out, poll questions, tell you what to watch next on 1620 The Zone.